Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought, a recent message. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you to please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, 10 o'clock.
Here's a way to understand chronology in the Bible. A good way to understand. Year one is creation, okay? 2,000 years from creation is Abraham. 1,000 years from Abraham is David, okay? And then 1,000 years from David is when Christ came, okay? So just give you, but Israel was a nation for 900 years. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of my anger. What city is that? Jerusalem. And of my fury from the day that they built it. They built the city of Jerusalem under King David and Solomon. Solomon built the temple. King David removed the Jebusites out of the land and walled the city. from the days, so that's about 450 years earlier, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. Provocation, that's where we get the word provoke from, provocation. They, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So what did Israel do? Constantly, over and over again, over again, over again, over again, provoke the Lord. Entrance into the land of promise is a type of rest. The kingdom age, we'll learn that, is a type of rest. It's a rest. 600 years in the picture of 6 days of creation, God created 6,000 years, man has occupied the earth. But the seventh day was called the Sabbath day, right? In the creation account. For the Jew, they always rested on the seventh day, which is Saturday. In the seventh millennium, the 7,000 years, that is called the age of rest. That's the sabbatical rest that the Lord is going to bring to the earth. It means we're not going to war, and there's not going to be fighting, and animals aren't going to rip apart each other and tear apart each other. They're not going to be carnivorous, and they're not going to be a prey for one another. We've looked at that in Isaiah chapter 11. It's going to be a rest. All the war, all the instruments of war will be melted down and made into instruments of sowing, farm equipment primarily. Plows, it says plowshares. All the swords are going to be melted down into plowshares. It's going to be an agrarian age. It'll be a farming age. And there will be peace in the earth. And the same is spoken of this promised land. Look in Deuteronomy 12:10. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Okay, that's a rest, a type of rest. Deuteronomy 25:19. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for, what? An inheritance, to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Joshua 1:13, remember the Lord, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest, has given you this land. That land is associated with the rest. Does that make sense? Okay, just wondering if I'm getting this across to every one of you. The land is a rest. It is called the rest. However, there is a future rest for the people of God, which the land of Israel is a type, a millennial Sabbath. Isaiah 11:10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. What does a root of Jesse mean? Can somebody explain what that means, a root of Jesse? Who was Jesse in the Bible? David's father. David's father. David was what? A type of Christ. And the root of Jesse, David, Jesus came out of the loins of David through his descendants, through Mary. And he is a type of Christ. Now, David is a type of Christ. So also in Isaiah, we've read Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 9 before, but let's just look at it very quickly for those who haven't seen this. But we see both the term rest in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Verse 6, we'll just start with verse 6 in Isaiah chapter 11. The wolf also shall dwell in the land with the lamb. The wolf dwelling with a lamb. How many places can you put a wolf in the same pen with a lamb? Anywhere on earth? No. Yeah, the lamb won't make it. It'll be a lamb chop. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. How many little kid goats can you put in a pen with a leopard? That's like putting a mouse in a cage with a cat, or putting a mouse in the cage of a poisonous snake. What do you feed piranha? Other fish? Or your fingers? A leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. Isn't it beautiful how God paints a picture? I mean, it tells you in these words what that kind of environment. There's not going to be fighting. There's not going to be the king of the jungle and the wild of the jungle that's going to be taking place. And there's going to be peace and rest. And a child will not have to fear a lion, a leopard. Mom and dad don't have to fear a snake coming and killing that child. The cow and the bear shall feed their young ones that lie down together. How many people recently have gotten mauled by bears across the country? Hunters by the multitudes. They say bears come out of nowhere. They didn't even realize it was a bear stalking them and came upon them. The suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. Those are poisonous snakes. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Today, is the earth full of the knowledge of the Lord? Not even America, that was built upon the Holy Bible, a Christian nation, is it filled with the knowledge of the Lord? But today, 240 years later, the Bible's banned from the classroom. Verse 10, and in that day, whenever you read your Bible and you see that phrase, in that day, that is talking about the day that the Lord is coming back. His coming back. It's a two-stage event, but he's coming back. That there shall be a root of Jesse, we see that term again, which shall stand for an ensign. Oh, we saw that, we read that verse. Of the people it shall be, to it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. 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 It's going to be a glorious day. In Isaiah 14, and it shall come to pass, what? In the day, another key point, that day, that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They shall break forth into singing. What happened with Israel in Egypt, in the wilderness, and going into the promised land is a picture of every one of our salvation. Is every one of our salvation. We got saved. We put the blood of the Lamb of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world upon the doorposts of our hearts. We've been separated from the world by baptism. How does baptism paint that picture? You've been buried. That old flesh has been buried. You've died to the world, and you have been raised in the likeness of Christ. And so that is a picture of your of coming out of Egypt. And then we're walking through the wilderness. And we, you know what? The Israels didn't want to fight the Canaanites, even though God was going to fight their battles for them. Problem is, we have giants in the land. Every one of us has giant problems. We need the Lord to help us through those problems and those difficulties and the trials and difficulties of life. It's easy to preach. It's not easy to live. It's easy to preach, but it's not easy to live. But that's a picture all throughout the New Testament of what took place there in Egypt. And constantly the authors of the various books relay that thought to us over and over and over again. Why is this provocation rehearsed in the ears of the New Testament saints? Galatians 3:29. If ye be Christ, are ye Christ? Are ye of Christ? Speaking every one of you, that's a question I'm throwing out to everyone. We are of Christ, right? We're Christians. We're Christ ones. If ye be of Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're heirs according to the promise because we're of Christ. And therefore, we're part of Abraham's seed. We are spiritual Jews. We are sons of Abraham through Christ. The Jews are sons of Abraham through who? Isaac. But we are sons of Abraham through Christ. Now, here comes Paul, the Apostle Paul. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the first time Paul mentions this. Moreover, brethren, who's he talking to? Believers, brethren, okay? He's talking to the church at Corinth, who are believers. They're brethren. That's what the church is made up of, believers. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. So this is talking to believers, and it's about believers, not being ignorant. Can we be ignorant? Can believers be ignorant? Yes. And we have to, our poor brethren who don't have an opportunity in communist countries and violent Muslim countries to get their hands on the Word of God, they're forced to be ignorant of the Word of God because they can't get their hands on the Word of God. But he says, I would not have you to be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. All our fathers. Well, you're part of Abraham's seed through Christ. So what took place in the wilderness are your fathers. They're our fathers, spiritually speaking. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea under the cloud. Remember, the Lord followed them or led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's what that cloud is talking about. All under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Moses walking through the Red Sea is a type of our baptism. Do you see that? It's a type of our baptism. It's a type of baptism. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. What's the spiritual meat? It's the bread of life. The manna that came down from heaven speaks of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down to heaven to give us the word of God and bring us salvation. He is the bread of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. That was the water that came up from the ground, the fountain of water. Jesus being a living fountain of water. That our souls would never thirst. For they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock of our salvation. Verse 5, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were what? What? Say it louder. In the wilderness. Those of you who have been in the Bible study, what were we studying? What's the opposite of overthrown? Overcome. What were the promises to the overcomers in the seven churches in the book of Revelation? Those who overcome. What he's warning about here is don't be overthrown. Be overcomers, don't be overthrown. What we've read in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 was the Israelites coming out of the wilderness and they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were overthrown. It's the opposite of being overcomers. Now, these things were our examples. Key point. They were our example. That's what I've been trying to teach you, because the Bible's teaching this. I'm just teaching what the Bible's teaching. I'm just trying to correlate it for us all so we understand it. These things are for our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That was speaking of the great sin at Mount Sinai when they made the golden calf and they were naked and they danced and they played, the Bible says. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. Who was the angel? The angel. He was the angel. The Lord Jesus Christ is that angel. What did Moses say? Don't provoke the angel when he delivers you into the land. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. We didn't even read that sin. That sin took place after. That was one of the sins that takes place after the day of temptation. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Satan is called the destroyer. What happened when the death angel came over the houses of the Egyptians? They killed the firstborn and even of the animals. He was called the destroyer in the Bible. Satan is also called the devourer in the New Testament. Destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for, there's just an older word for example. Examples is, that's King James English, just an old word for examples. And they are written for our admonition, for our warning, to sit up and take notice, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's read that again slowly. Now all these things happened unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We are in the ends of the world. These last 2,000 years have been the end of the world. This is the latter days. The end of the world. This world is coming to an end. This crowd that we're hearing about in Washington, D.C. that has usurped the Democratic Party and the UN and all the globalists and the environmentalists, their end is coming. It appears that we can't touch them with our courts today. We can't prevent their going forth with their agenda today, but their end is coming. We don't have the strength to do it anymore. The church is valueless in the world today. It has lost its spiritual strength because of its sin. But Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to put an end to their shenanigans and put an end to their corruption. And that will be the end of their world, the end of Egypt, the end of Egypt.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.